stern experience of the Christians in Rome, nor was he reveling in some fancy that Nero was serving the Lord by upholding his law.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we're going to come and bring you your weather. Just a moment, please. You're welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. We've got the weather coming up right now.
Good morning. This is the weather for the Greenville-Spartanburg area. We're going to expect showers and thunderstorms that will move east across the upper Savannah River Valley to Hendersonville about 8 o'clock this morning. Expect heavy rainfall in the upper Savannah River Valley. For the aviators this morning, your wind speeds are 6, gusting to 9. Wind direction is east-northeast at 60 degrees, and you have a 500-foot ceiling.
And you're, believe it or not, this is July 29th, 2005. We've actually got another month in the books for Christian Worldview, which began on January 5th of 2005. So moving right along, let me make another call for volunteers. We've been discussing this on the last few shows. The Tyranny Response Network is in need of people who want to have make a great impact in their world by being part of the Tyranny Response Network. But have just a little bit of time to donate. We need people for production staff. We especially need people with technical capabilities as well, folks who can, who know about radios, signals, as well as technological pieces of computing and networking and things like that. If you're able to help out with the Tyranny Response Network, we'd be really delighted to talk to you and see if we can't have you on board with us. Of course, we would be looking for folks who are principled in the sense that we are principled here, having the similar viewpoint, whether it be a true conservative or a pro-life libertarian viewpoint. So we'd be happy to hear from you if you're able to put in some time as a volunteer. You simply go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, and go to the contact tab where it says contact. Go there and scroll down to one of the folks there on the list, namely Mark, Chuck, or Brad, or Richie. Email those folks and let them know that you're able to help us, and we'll be appreciative if you can do so. The TyrannyResponse.com website's an important website because...
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted.
It's an important website because it allows for us to be able to tell you about the great upstate events that are going on here right now. Under the events tab, under Tyranny Response, you'll find a calendar at the very bottom. And hopefully Rip and Richie will be updating that calendar shortly. The only events going on this week are past, other than our normal Friday meeting. If you're interested in a public policy informal talk during the Friday afternoon, there's Four Seasons Restaurant down in Malden. You'll find there that we have a 1:30 to about 4 o'clock meeting with interesting minds, Dr. Stephen Yates sometimes, regularly now, Ben Graydon, Dr. Paul Dean, and occasionally, as well as some newcomers, such as Dr. Ralph Bass, Jr., and a whole host of other folks, ranging from anywhere from 4 to about 15 people on a Friday afternoon. We just sit there and talk about public policy issues, what's happening, and some people find it interesting and entertaining to enjoy their afternoon there Friday. You're welcome to come as well to the Four Seasons on Friday afternoons and just meet us and talk with us if you happen to be in the Malden area at that time. We also have a number of other events that are scheduled here for the following months, including the Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing Conference. It's going to feature 8 top scientists In particular, it's going to have the doctors Michael Behe, John A. Campbell, Jonathan Wells, and Thomas Woodward. It's an event that costs $145 or $115 if you're a teacher or student, and you can enroll by calling 864-288-3456. It's going to be Scientists Who Defined Darwinism Unconvincing Conference. You're invited to hear the leading scientists present the latest evidence regarding Darwin's speculations, which is what he called them, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Palmetto Expo Center. Again, if you want more information, call 864-288-3456. And we're going to move on to a couple things that are interesting to us now from story side of things. Here's one from Socialist Public Schools Are Homeschooling. This is Nancy Levant, July 28, 2005, News with Views. She says, I have very little hope for this nation. Wow. That's quite a way to start out an article, eh? I have very little hope for this nation, she says. The bulk of the populace is still clueless as to the executive orders, acts, and partnership bureaucracy system that have turned our constitutional republic into a new banana republic. The ongoing ignorance of the masses is beyond all comprehension and reason. The southwestern U.S. and the West Coast have become a foreign and illegal nation. Every constitutional right is under perpetuated and highly orchestrated attack, and still the masses watch TV, sports, drink beer, and do and say nothing. Most don't even know that anything has changed. And why is that? Because public education has changed American people into silent, sacrilegious, non-reading, pleasure-seeking, group-thinking morons. That's why. Well, that's a pretty good statement. Don't you think so? That's a good statement? Who is this woman? Nancy Levant. We gotta applaud her for making the strong statement she did. I remember reading a study about 30 years ago on the educational effects of computers coupled with television. The study concluded that the television info TV computer combo and the overstimulation of visual senses was detrimental to reading and writing skills. Gee, do you think? However, the public school system was going to be the saving grace. Pour more money into the public schools, incorporate computer technology into classrooms, and American schools could guarantee the best public education in the world. But for the past 30-plus years, American schools have choked on their promises to deliver. Today, illiteracy is commonplace. The first 2 years of college repeat high school basics, and the last 2 years teach group dynamics and socialist theory. In today's world, a four-year, $100,000 college degree is as useless as a high school diploma. I have to agree with her after teaching at Limestone University not too long ago and a few other places I've seen. To even think of getting a job, people are forced into master's degree programs, which are also rapidly becoming useless in American society. In today's America, if you want a good job with good pay, you need to spend about $200,000 on higher education and obtain a doctoral degree in the sciences. Then your job opportunities with the government will be abounding. So let's get this straight. Once and for all, socialism requires ignorance in mass numbers. Intelligent, well-read people do not choose to be lowly paid employees who are subservient to multimillionaires and their purchased politicians. Intelligent people do not desire to be socially and culturally controlled by dictatorial government elites. Knock, knock, America. Is anyone home? The U.S. citizenry has been incrementally dumbed down by the federal government, the NEA, the AFT, and idiot teachers who are still largely unaware of the socialist curriculums and agendas imposed in their classrooms. I have talked to at least 50 teachers who were totally unaware of the new Freedom Initiative on Mental Health and TMAP, Goals 2000, Outcome-Based Education, Agenda 21, or Social Reengineering, Educational Strategies that Enforce Global Citizenship. Our teachers are clueless. It is therefore guaranteed that our children are educational victims of government, unions, and ignorance. Equally, all American citizens under the age of 40 are educationally victimized, which is why in mass they are unaware of the dismantling of their nation. They can't see it. They don't believe it. And they are lost, literally lost, in televised propaganda and social group manipulations. In mass, they are dumbed-down socialist worker bees and permanently indebted to the elite and their corporations. They don't make waves. They don't make noise. They just keep making high-interest payments to creditors. They sense no responsibility to their nations, only to creditors. What a perfect scenario for the corporate elite, and what a clever educational system they impose to create a perfect non-thinking and debt-ridden slave. This August, America's children will return to the public schools. We also call those here government schools, more appropriately, and, as Bruce Short has called them, pagan seminaries. They are pagan seminaries. They will be taught about Gaia, the invented religion of the globalists. They will be educated in consensus-style groups. Students will be profiled using quizzes and tests, assessment and proficiency exams, and they will be force-taught global government citizenship. American history will be twisted to reveal the founding principles as ineffective, and they will be taught that the Constitution is irrelevant in today's world. Our producer just passed over a note that they're also government indoctrination centers. Indeed, they are. American children will be taught to accept homosexuality. They already are being taught that. Youth sex. They will be taught to disregard parental authority and traditional religious doctrines. They will be prepared for compulsory military service and compulsory volunteerism, as in field trips to nursing homes. Math and reading skills will be lowered, and advocates will speak to your children behind closed doors. These advocates will administer questionnaires to seek out and drug students who are seemingly non-compliant with globalist socialist mindsets. Medicaid dollars will be funneled to schools who force deliver children into the hands of the pharmaceutical industry, thanks to our New Freedom Initiative and advocates. Also keep in mind the first attempt to RFID the American school children. The outcry from parents was heard, but also keep in mind that RFID is being fed into the public as a security device. Let a kidnapping or terrorist act occur in an American school, and I suggest to you that RFID will reappear in or upon children under the guise of proper parental government strategies. The conditions of the public school system, which has been completely overtaken by the federal government, the NEA, the AFT socialists, and the AFT socialists, is the last hope for the endamaged masses to see the big picture. If parental instincts function to any degree, American parents will not allow their children to step foot in a public school. Amen! As we just had a discussion about this last night among some good TRN folks, and my position is that it is completely sinful to be involved with the public school. I don't know other way to put it. I'm not going to be nice about it. She's right. Anyway, let me continue on. Any parent who allows their children to be profiled, manipulated, incrementally dumbed down, and to set up it to be a UN soldier is a traitor to this nation, an idiot, and an unconscionable parent. You can't stand up for and protect your children. This woman misses her words too well. It's clear why you have refused to stand up for your constitutional rights. Equally, any American citizen who votes for any public school levy is a socialist stooge and an enemy of America's future. If you're not homeschooling your children at the 2005-2006 school year, then you are no parent, nor should you be. If you refuse to protect your children from socialist communist indoctrination, then you're not a true citizen of this nation. If you use your employment as the excuse to send your beloved children into government indoctrination centers, you will get what you deserve when your children stand against you. Wow. Wonderful column. What do you think about that, folks? We're going to go to a break. This is Chris's Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a second. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Isn't that great listening to the Bill of Rights this early in the morning? We need to remember the Bill of Rights, especially because if you went to the Government Indoctrination Center, that is the pagan seminary, you might not have heard the Bill of Rights. You might not have known we had a Bill of Rights. You might have heard that they're irrelevant, or might have heard parts of the Bill of Rights, or might have heard misrepresentations of the Bill of Rights, like the First Amendment says something about there should be a wall of separation between church and state. It doesn't say that, by the way, as you should have just heard. Nevertheless, we want to be able to play that for you here on the Kearney Response Network, and especially Christian Worldview, talking about something as important as homeschooling versus public schooling early on today. It's a rousing start, an issue near and dear to my heart, something I think that she really hit the... Nancy Levant hit the nail right on the head. When we're talking about the fate of this nation, what's going to happen to this nation in the future, we have to look at what public education is doing to children. And we can see that America's liberties are hanging in the balance right now. As homeschoolers are on the rise, which is good, we have a huge force of 50 million kids every year attending government indoctrination centers and being turned out as little socialists who end up loving the things of this world, certainly not loving the things of the Lord, certainly not loving the founding principles in mass. People that are largely ignorant buffoons, as she said, idiots, useful idiots in society, used as cogs in a great machine by a bunch of central planning types, environmentalist, extremists and so forth. This is what's happening to this country, and it's because, largely because of the public school. Public enemy number one is the public school, in my mind. There's nothing more damaging to the American nation than the public school. Now, I know some people are going to be shocked when they hear that sort of thing. Well, listen to Christian Worldview for enough time, and you're going to find out why you should not be shocked. Not only Nancy Levant's article, but things like we've read in the past from Bruce Short in his book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. Not to mention my own book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and Chapter 6 on the institution of the public school, why Christians should have nothing to do with it. People are completely ignorant about fundamental economic principles. They're ignorant about public policy, and certainly public policy theology, and because of that, the state itself, people who want power, who like socialism, who like Darwinism, who like secular humanism, who like alternative lifestyles, and so forth. These people are winning the battle currently because they've simply taken over public education. Christians, unfortunately, have not woken up to see how deadly and devastating this trend has become. Some Christians are. Al Mohler, for instance, Bruce Short. But many are not. Unfortunately, we even have Dr. Tony Beam here locally trying to defend the public school as a place we can go and be salt and light. And the program that's a festival of ignorance, he'll say such a thing, or he'll write it in his columns, and yet he is making a great mistake. Like Tony, great guy, but all I can say is he's publicly talking about nonsense and something that's evil and something that's wrong, and he's leading many people astray because he wants to be nice, effectively. Now, if he were here, he might have a different opinion. I don't know. He can't call in now because they're in the midst of the festival of ignorance on another station. Well, here we have the Duke of Alba story. And as soon as we come back from the break here, we want to talk about the Duke of Alba. It's a William S. Lind book or an article. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a second.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
The Duke of Alba. In the 16th century, Europe was devastated by wars of religion, a fact which gives unhappy time some relevance to our own. The foremost soldier and commander in the 16th century Europe was the Duke of Alba, or Alba. His excellent new biography by the Duke of the Duke by Henry Comyn offers some less than encouraging lessons. In the 1560s, Spain faced a minor revolt in the Netherlands, which were then controlled by the Spanish crown. Hundreds of Catholic churches were sacked and desecrated by mobs of Calvinists. Philip II of Spain decided to send an army, commanded by the Duke of Alba, despite the fact that by spring 1567, the Netherlands regent had put the rebellion down. In effect, Philip and Alba embarked on a war of choice against the advice of both local authorities and many of Philip's counselors. The Duke of Alba's arrival in Brussels on Friday, August 22, 1567, at the head of the army of 10,000 men, was the first to allow the famous Spanish road, created a problem where none existed. By the way, Alba, I think Alba in Spanish means like the dawn or the break of dawn. So that's an interesting title if you understand the Spanish. He's the Duke of the Break of Dawn. Or maybe it's just a common name that's given to, in a formal sense. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. It says, the Duke of Alba, observer's guest, was there to restore order, arrest dissidents, and check the growth of heresy. But the situation, according to Margaret of Parma, the regent, was under control. So why was an army needed? It was, in any case, the first line of heresy in another country that ever appeared to be a concern of the Spanish crown. Once Alba got himself settled, he began arresting Flemish aristocrats, including some of those who had helped Margaret suppress the previous year's rebellion. King Philip wrote to Alba in November 1567, "You have a free hand." He did so despite some excellent advice from Friar Lorenzo de Villavicento, who had lived in the Netherlands. The situation, Villavicento insisted to the king, could not be resolved with the army, nor must force be used against the Netherlanders, for that would unite them against Spain. Don't let your majesty be persuaded that the Flemings are beasts and drunks, for they are human beings, and if not so now, they will be so one day, standing together and in their own land with their own neighbors who will help them, and even if they kill one of ours and we kill 10 of theirs, in the end they will finish us. Spaniards could not be allowed to govern the country, for they neither know the language nor understand the laws and customs. Philip and Alba ignored this advice. Alba's motto was, "Hombres muertos no hacen guerra," dead men make no war. His army did what armies do, kill people and break things, and the result was a string of local victories. By the summer of 1570, Comyn writes, Alba felt he could congratulate himself on having achieved what no other general in history had ever achieved, the pacification of a whole province, and without losing a single man, because I can assure you that in the two campaigns barely 100 soldiers died. But that wasn't the end of the story. The Dutch rebels adapted in a way that the Spanish had never imagined. They based themselves in where no Spanish troops could reach them, at sea. On April 1st, 1572, the Sea Beggars, as the maritime rebels called themselves, seized the offshore port of Brill. On April 14th, the Prince of Orange called the Dutch people to revolt against the cruel, bloodthirsty foreign oppressors, and they did. The resulting war would last for 80 years, and result in Dutch independence and Spanish ruin. As to the Duke of Alba himself and his policies in the Netherlands, the best summary was offered by his successor there, Luis de Requesens. As Henry Comyn quotes him, "All I know is that when he came to this post, he found the disturbances in them settled and no territory lost, and everything so quiet and secure that he could wield the knife as he wished, and by the time he left Holland and Zealand was in the power of the enemy, as well as a good part of Gelderland and Brabant. All the opinion of these provinces, with all the finances, wholly ruined." Whether this epitaph will apply equally to America's invasion of Iraq, time will tell. But it is all too possible that the Middle East will end up being America's Netherlands. In any event, I somehow doubt that history will accept the Bush administration's newspeak for the invasion of Iraq. Operation Iraqi Freedom might Operation Duke of Alba be more a credible, a more credible substitute? William Lind writing, so we have to appreciate that particular comment. Love to hear your comments this morning, either on the Iraqi invasion and its relationship to perhaps the Duke of Alba's invasion, or this discussion by Nancy Levant on the public school. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the top of the hour. We're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children,
Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A great day on store, and we've been talking about some very interesting topics already this morning related to the public school. In particular, Nancy Levant's fine conversation, as well as the allusion about the Duke of Alba's insane attack of the Netherlands in the 1500s being much like George W. Bush's insane assault against Iraq and the resulting, effectively, a civil war. Some people don't think it's a civil war. Sure seems like one when you look at all the stuff going on over there now. But anyway, we want to check in with our producer here and see what the weather's going to be like.
The weather this morning is widespread showers and thunderstorms with a temperature of 72 degrees. And we have a raise in the ceiling for you aviators out there to 4,100 feet. And wind speed at 7 miles per hour, gusting to 11. And that's it for the weather.
What about, are we going to have widespread showers today or something like that? Are we expecting a lot of rain in the forecast today? People need to be prepared if they're making that way out to work, don't they, for some wet weather.
Right, right. It's currently raining here in Greenville and through most of the surrounding area to the west of Greenville.
Well, remember, it's July 28th, or it's the 29th today? It's the 29th, isn't it? It's July 29th, 2005. So if you're listening to a recording of the show, don't think the weather's about to change or going to become what we just said. You're listening to a recorded show, but if you're listening live at 8 o'clock in the morning here, or 8:05 on the 29th, that's your weather forecast. Glad to bring it to you here at the Tyranny Response Network. Want to also remind some folks about some of our friends, like the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a paper that supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or their office is located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. You can call 864-268-0576 and get a subscription for only $25 a year in-state and $27 a year out-of-state. The subscription number, again, is 864-268-0576. If you're interested in placing an ad in the Times Examiner, it would be a great help to them. You can do so by calling 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817, and asking specifically for David, and hopefully he'll be able to help you get an ad placed in there, and it'll be a great way to support this this wonderful cause of truth in the Times Examiner, getting rid of not having to be filled with a bunch of liberal columnists. You'd have some neocons in there, but for the most part, you have true conservatives or pro-life libertarians, and it's a very good reading. Hope you get a copy of that today. And speaking of good meetings, I want to also mention another meeting before we go on, just so I don't forget. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you cannot do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month in the library on Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, another story, here's one for us that the Tyranny Response Network found for us. Start Acting Like a Christian Nation by James Glasser. America claims to be a Christian nation. We tell our children that our country was founded by a Christian. Our president and almost every politician in the country will quote from the Bible at the drop of a hat. Not only are there tens of thousands of Christian churches all across this nation, we even have huge roadside crosses to remind us of our Christian faith. It is hard to tune into a radio here and not come across many Christian stations, and every Sunday morning the television is filled with Christian evangelists. But when it comes right down to it, we are pretty much a pretend Christian nation. Oh, we say all the right words, and we do have public prayer over the place, all over the place. Go to any city in America, you won't have to find any trouble finding people who will claim a strong belief in Jesus Christ, but in reality, often that is a sham. America is a nation that loves war. America is a nation that honors those who go out and kill for us. America has the greatest killing machine, our armed forces, the world has ever seen, and we spend more money on that killing machine than the rest of the world combined spends on their killing machines. The United States has more weapons of mass destruction than any other nation. We have, I think Russia actually has more warheads. We read that yesterday in National Geographic, so that's not actually true. Maybe they're second most. We have nuclear and hydrogen bombs. We have chemical and biological weapons. We are constantly working at making bigger and better weapons. And all that these weapons are good for is mass killing. Christians are called Christians because they claim a belief in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Another name for Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Jesus taught us that we should love our enemies as our and our neighbors. If someone strikes us, Jesus Christ tells them to turn the other cheek. Of course, that's figurative, because when he was struck during his trial, he didn't turn the other cheek. You know, this kind of stuff, we read and consider all sorts of stuff here on Christian Worldview. And this guy, whoever, you know, Glasser is, I think is making a wrong turn here. And to some extent, he's right about us being a nation of war and being only lip service to being a Christian nation. That's true. I agree. But look, folks, we need to have self-defense. The whole idea of having government is because we can't do individually what we must do collectively and protect us from foreign marauding bands, from invaders, from people who are predators from abroad, as well as even predators domestically. We need help to do that, to help one another, a mutual assistance. And that's what government's all about. The idea that we are peacemakers in the world does not mean that we cannot have self-defense. Also, the greatest way to spread peace is what? This is maybe what Glasser is missing. What brings the greatest amount of social cooperation and peace in the world? Is it socialism? No. Socialism brings you war, misery, poverty, degradation of property rights, and dilapidation of the environment. That's what you get from socialism. What do we get from property rights being respected, from liberty being respected? I'll tell you what, you don't get perfect peace. That only comes after Christ returns. But we get peace. And if we're going to promote peace in the world, paradoxically, one of the best things we can do is to fight for peace in this world. And I think Glasser may be missing the boat on this. I'm going to have some more comments on this. We'll continue reading the rest of his article when we come back. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a second. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we're reading Glasser's article still here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Welcome back, by the way. Before Jesus came down to save mankind, Glasser says, the rule was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Revenge was the rule of law, and it still is for many in this world. But Jesus said, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Jesus is speaking figuratively here, though. As I said, he's not decrying any kind of self-defense. And Jesus and the Apostle Paul were both smitten during trials, like recorded in the Scriptures, and neither of them literally turned the cheek. The point is, look, go out of your way to serve other men, even when they're abusive to you, that you might win them to Christ. That's the idea. It doesn't mean that you allow yourself to simply be mowed down by a bunch of thugs and robbers or states. There is a reason for self-defense, and I think he may be missing that, but we'll see when we continue on and read. "Hey, I know being a Christian isn't easy, but then no one said it would be. Our leaders have a just war doctrine they trot out every time they want to go to war. But that doctrine was written by a man, while the words and teachings of Jesus Christ are the words of God. At least they are if you're a Christian." Yes, that's right. The just war has nothing to do with George Bush is doing, and there is a just war. Anytime you have self-defense, it's a collective action no different than you shooting the robber coming in to pillage your house and family in the middle and harm your family in the middle of the night. Anyway, let me continue on. "Washington has a hard time believing in Jesus Christ's word, so they have adopted this just war doctrine that was invented by a Catholic saint hundreds of years after Christ rose from the dead and went back to heaven. Now, if you really are a good Christian, you believe that Jesus will be coming back to judge us someday. But I can't see anyone saying to him, 'But St. Augustine said it was okay,' or 'How about George Bush said it was okay?' Hang your salvation on that if you want, but I'm not buying it." Well, Glasser, listen, folks. What we can do is use the rest of the Scripture to talk about the idea of defense. And, in fact, there's a Liberty Minutes online under the audio section of the TyrannyResponse.net website that you can listen to. There is clearly an indication in the Scripture that that Jesus expects that self-defense is okay. He told us to actually go out and buy swords, not for hunting deer, but actually as weapons to defend ourselves, in Luke 22:36. There are other indications in the scriptures too, not only from the words of Christ, but the implication of Paul in 1 Timothy 5:8 telling us to provide for our households. That includes the idea of defending them from predators. So the idea of self-defense is justifiable in the scriptures. It doesn't just come from Augustine said it was okay. It comes from the Bible saying it's okay. And we'd encourage you to look up the self-defense liberty minutes that are available there on the Tyranny Response Network website, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. You can also read the article that's been archived for you at the policyofliberty.net website on self-defense. We would encourage you to do that because a Christian worldview, we want to promote a Christian worldview, not just a worldview that takes a verse out of context, like he is doing about with the words of Christ in Matthew 5, and then building an entire doctrine of pacifism from it. At any rate, reading on here, thousands of Christian ministers all over this country are preaching from their pulpits that going off to another war is fine, and God is on our side. I just wonder which God they are talking about, because it isn't Christ. Christ left us a Bible to live by, and you know what? The just war doctrine didn't make it into the Bible. Well, he's mistaken there. We have a choice. We can live by Christ's words and teaching, or we can go our own way. God gave us free will, but we can't have it both ways. If we follow the teachings of the Prince of Peace, we can claim that we are Christians, but if we follow the teachings of some man or the rants of some president, well, then we are something else, but we are no longer Christians. Yes, but you have to understand, George Bush may be wrong, but it doesn't mean that there is no such thing as just war. How do we bring peace to the world, folks? We bring peace by promoting property rights, prosperity through freedom, the principles of liberty. If we go the other way, it doesn't give us freedom. It gives us only tyranny, misery, poverty, death, and war. Here's a quote from Jesus Christ: "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Indeed, that is the disposition of the Christian, but it doesn't mean that means you have to roll over when any lunatic wants to kill you. You can't let the Scripture fight against itself. There are places in the Scripture which are very clearly support the idea of self-defense, and there are clearly places in the Scripture which we are told to put up with a lot of abuse from men in order to win them to Christ. There is a delicate balance in the Scripture that we must as Christians adopt in our Christian worldview. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a second.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. We have Chuck on the line. Chuck, welcome to Christian Worldview.
Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning.
Yeah, you too. Glad you called. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a question for you. You led off the show talking about public schools, frequent topic, and it raised an old memory. You remember Ben Graydon, I'm sure, has been writing columns for years, and the first notice I ever took of Ben was when he wrote a column in the Greenville News, and he had remarked in that column something I found remarkable, which was the percentage of students that were not in public school. I believe at that time it was about 17%. Now, the Alliance for the Separation of School and State predicts that it doesn't take anything like 100% of people out of the public school before the public support for that system collapses. I think they figure it's more like 25 or 30% is all you need. My question would be, do you know of any clearinghouse or a place that where you can readily find out what the current numbers are? I don't know. I haven't seen anything since Ben put them out.
That's a great question. You know, I don't offhand have a website. I suppose that there are some census data on this. Every piece of data I found about how many people are in the public school have come from books that I read that cite different sources. I just don't remember what those sources are offhand. You know, 55 million is pretty much the number of school-aged children in America. We have close to 300 million people in the country now, and about 55 million of them are school-aged children. Of course, that doesn't include ages under 5 or maybe 5 and under. So they're, you know, it's not the total number of children, but it is the school-aged ones. And apparently, about 4 or 5 million kids go to private schools. And the number of homeschoolers is estimated between 1 and 2 million by the government. But we don't actually know how many there really are, because so many Christians do not register their kids with the state. It could be 4 million for all we know. It's an interesting question. Now, county by county, I don't have any idea where to go for that number, I'm afraid. I wish I did, but there must be some government bureaucrat that keeps track of county public schools to find out what enrollments are.
Okay. Well, maybe it's a question we can raise to the audience. If somebody out there knows, they could call in and tell us what's a good way to find out.
Yeah, that is a good question, because Ben is probably right that if we just 25% of people had abandoned the public school, you might have some good effect. Now, I do know of a situation in Holland, Michigan, where that didn't work at all. Holland, Michigan is a section of the country that's full of Christian Reformed people who are very very ethnically Dutch. They're committed to Christian education, and because of that, the Christian school is by far larger than the public school. It might be twice as large as the local public school. People still have to pay property taxes, and because of that, the public school just is loaded with money. They have all sorts of cash for new uniforms, books, jerseys, whatever that might be that they have on. And so it did not pull down the public school. It sort of left up the behemoth welfare state institution and still took the tax dollars, even though it wasn't being utilized. So I don't know if that would happen here in Greenville as well. My guess is it probably would. Why would the public school just vanish, even if we had 25%? But that's just a conjecture on my part. I don't really know the ultimate answer to that. And it seems like it makes some sense what Ben's saying, that if you just had enough people hating it, pulling out of it, they would it would go away.
I think, too, the level matters. I don't think that having a high percentage just in Greenville would do the trick. I think you'd need it to be statewide. That's the political entity that I think would matter.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be right about that. It makes some sense as well. Well, that's an interesting way to think about how to pull down this this great enemy of the truth by just getting enough people out, not everybody, but just even a quarter of the population. Appreciate that thought.
Hey, there's another idea I've had about that that I've raised before Senator David Thomas, and also I've asked what Ralph Ristol would think of it. Because not that Ralph has any particular authority, but I consider him very well read, well thought out, on issues of public school. That's one of his big issues, and he's very much in favor of choice in school.
Hmm. Good.
And I've asked both of them about the possibility of amending the state constitution so that it no longer requires a free education, because I think free is a terrible price for education.
Mm-hmm.
At best, you know, as far as best being from whose perspective, but I think you should have always at least a nominal fee for anything, because anything that's free gets abused.
Yes. There's
and underappreciated.
Yeah, the tragedy of the commons. Well, I appreciate the comments, Chuck. Great information, a great thing, a great issue to bring up here. Maybe some other callers are going to be able to shed some light onto this morning.
Okay. I'd be interested in what other people think, too, about the idea of amending the state constitution, because I've always thought that's one of the worst things I've seen in there, is that requirement for a free education.
Right. Yeah, it's a great point. It'd be nice to amend that and a few other things in the flawed state constitution, actually, but great idea. Okay.
Good talking to you.
All right, Chuck. Appreciate the phone call. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the bottom of the hour break. We're trying to get back on break schedule. We're going to jump to a break again, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax advantage growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Want to check in real for a minute and find out what the weather's like for you if you're just heading out to work or going to get to your warm or could it be cool cubicle here. Want to find out what the weather's going to be like, what's in store for you. I think it's going to be a rainy day, isn't it?
It's supposed to be rainy for most of the day this morning and throughout the day. It's 72 degrees currently in the Greenville area out at the airport. And for pilots, we're back to VFR flight rules this morning with a ceiling of 4,100 feet. Winds at 7 miles per hour with gusts to 11.
And we got widespread showers and thunderstorms coming from the northeast. Is that right? What does it say up there? I can't quite see your weather screen there.
Yeah, we're expecting widespread showers and thunderstorms that'll move to the northeast from the foothills of northeast Georgia across the western upstate of South Carolina. Into the central and southern mountains of North Carolina through about 10 o'clock this morning. Many locations will receive heavy, very heavy rainfall.
Okay, so be prepared for some flash flooding and some locally heavy drenching. It looks like it's about 72 degrees everywhere in the upstate, too. It's not just at the airport, but downtown, Anderson, Clemson, everything right around, checking in around 72 degrees. I want to remind folks, too, to check out the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to save your private property. It's well worth signing this petition. It's a petition that says to the South Carolina legislature, look, we want you to be real clear in our state that we believe the rights to life, liberty, and property are inalienable. That's coming from the Declaration of Independence as well as the Fifth Amendment. And we want South Carolina to make this declaration very solid and very clear to the folks of this state and anyone else who might want to jeopardize things. We have a caller on the line, and we're going to get to the caller just momentarily here. I wanted to mention to you that you can find the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to save your private property by simply going to the tyrannyresponse.com website and clicking the related media tab and looking down to the links under petitions. Go there and check it out. Also want to mention to you that Rippin' Richie has the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse live show coming on at 4:30 till 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Hope you can stay tuned and listen to Rippin' Richie's broadcast. He's had a good week, the first starting week, the inaugural week, and things have gone very well there. Hope you have a chance to listen in to that new program. Well, we have a caller on the line, and we want to try to put him on the air now and see if we can see what's on his mind. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hey, it's Chuck again.
Hey, Chuck again. Good to hear from you.
I,
I realize that I should have asked you a question about your story. You just tell me about the school in Holland, Michigan, I think it was.
Yes.
Well, since they had so much money, obviously their education must have been really superior, huh?
Yeah, that's a great point. And no, it wasn't superior. That should have been. I should have brought that up. The Christian school in the area did a phenomenal job relative to the public school. And although the public school didn't have the massive it wasn't known for being just terrible as far as, you know, academic performance. It was very clear that it was far less quality-wise than the Christian school was in the area. So even with all that extra money, it didn't seem to improve the quality of education, and it wasn't clear at all that it improved the morality of things or promoted a Christian worldview, obviously. None of those things were even argued. In fact, the Christian school movement there is so strong, they just said, look, this place is awful. It's pretty nefarious with stuff that goes on there, and obviously more money did not cure any of the problems.
You burst my bubble, John. I'm shocked.
You said a track?
I'm shocked.
Oh, you're shocked. Yes, I'm sure. Anyway, yes, we all are shocked by such things. Well, anyway, I appreciate you calling back, Chuck, to discuss that. I believe we might even have another caller on the line. Is that right? Hey, Chuck, let us jump to another phone call here. All right, Chuck, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with? Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview. Well, we're trying to get you on the air here. I think you're there. Maybe if not, call back.
Caller.
All right. Well, we apparently lost the caller there. We'll try and see if we can't get them back here shortly. If you're trying to call the show, do give us a call back at 864-244-8177. 864-244-8177. You can also try the other line at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, and we'll try to get you on the air. I hear something ringing now. We have a caller coming back online. Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. It's Paul from Georgia.
Hello, Paul from Georgia. Thanks for calling this morning. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'll just put my 2 cents worth in on the CAFTA agreement they passed a couple of days ago, and you know, just once again our Congress sold out to us for full special interest.
They sure did. And talk about special interests, globalists, socialists, people that want to come and rule our lives and undermine the Constitution and subvert the authority of the American of American sovereignty, I should say. They subvert American sovereignty. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's correct. And in fact, it's not even a treaty. They, you know, they can't even pass a treaty. It's a cold agreement, you know. So, you know, I said, once again, our Congress just does a number on us. And it's like enough, I mean, it hasn't enough jobs been lost to, you know, third world countries, and it's not certainly not helping the majority of those people either.
No, it probably won't help anybody other than globalists, statists, people that like multinational power. Those people will be benefit from it, but it's not clear that common citizens anywhere will be benefited. There'll be a few who are able to get the fair-haired boys that are going to get economic payoffs from the whole thing. But by and large, it's a very great degradation of liberty and of our social structure here, as far as envisioned by the founding fathers.
Exactly. We should. We also be once again. We should all be going toward the state house and the Congress with our pitchforks, you know, and saying, how can you guys keep doing this to us?
Yeah, maybe we could actually use the pitchforks this time instead of just showing them. That might be helpful.
Well, you know, one thing leads to another, I guess. But we wouldn't want to be terrorists now, you know?
No, we just want to be Americans who uphold the Second Amendment. There is slightly a difference. We had an entire show yesterday, Paul. Almost the whole hour we're talking about CAFTA. We had Dr. Stephen Yates on. I don't know if you were able to listen to the show.
No, we've had some internet things going on, so I haven't been able to tune in this week and some of last week too. But Stephen Yates is great. He really is. He hits the nail on the head.
Well, how did you handle the withdrawals, not being able to listen to Christian Worldview for almost a whole week? That must have been really rough.
It's been difficult. You know, a little bit loss of sleep. you know, tightness around, you know, those tests around the shoulders and neck, but we've been working it out and doing the best we can.
Well, I appreciate that. I understand that they're using effectively in the public school or the government indoctrination center, Ritalin. Maybe you can start taking that and it'll help your loss of sleep and so forth and your anxiety. You might get over the fact that you haven't been able to hear something of the truth on the airwaves, so commonly polluted by liberals and thugs and goons and so forth.
Well, I hate to start doing the Ritalin thing. I've been, you know, last 20 years, I've been trying to detox myself of what they taught me in the school system and in other government institutions. So, I really hate to slide down that.
Yeah.
You know, go back off the wagon, but...
Good for you. You stay right where you are. Don't be taking Ritalin, all right?
That sounds like a deal.
Just keep your internet up and running. All right, Paul, we really appreciate
the
call.
Have a great weekend, okay. and hopefully I'll be able to, get more of the information. I hate that I missed Dr. Yates, but life will go on.
Right. Well, hopefully he'll call in again soon and give us an executive summary. Thanks for the call, Paul. We'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
later.
Sir.
And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I think it's actually time for us to jump to a quick break. I think we may be even overtime. Are we overtime for a break? Oh, we're not overtime for a break. I'm making a mistake. We're going to stay right here. I want to talk about some self-defense issues here. We've been reading a story by Glasser earlier where the pacifist is trying to take a couple verses out of context and say that the Bible does not support self-defense. Or, yeah, he's actually saying just war. What people don't understand is that there is a just war doctrine. It's a doctrine of self-defense saying that if we can't fight a massive army individually, we can use a collective effort underneath the bands of a very limited government in order to do so. And that's what we were advocating here. We're not advocating total war or the insane wars of George W. Bush or the neocons of recent years. Those wars are evil and wrong, and they're not just. But when you're attacking general the just war doctrine, then we have a problem with it, because we believe the American War for Independence and the war between the states were just wars. And I want to use some of the scriptures here as we close up our show for the last 10 or 15 minutes. Acts chapter 7 says this about Moses. This is interesting. Someone, one of our staff members, brought this to me the other day. And he said, it says this, Acts chapter 7, talking about Moses in verse 24, and seeing one of them, that is of the children of Israel, suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. And what that means in verse 28 is, do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian the other day? It means that by striking him down, he killed the Egyptian who was oppressing his brother. For Moses supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. So here's a case of self-defense in the scripture that's commended. In fact, Moses is called the deliverer in the scriptures, and he is not put down as being a murderer because he defended himself. We're going to come back in a few minutes and talk some more about what the scriptures has to say about self-defense. I'm going to read a bit about from my recent article on self-defense, and I hope you'll enjoy that as we begin to think about this very important topic. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Several New Testament passages can be used to support the doctrine of self-defense for a Christian. I'm reading from an article that I wrote not too long in the past called Christians in Self-Defense Against Criminals, Including the State. This is available at policyofliberty.net. First, John the Baptist did not condemn soldiers for doing their job, part of which included killing people, but only warned against abusing their office. Likewise, soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Luke 3:14. Second, Christ directed that Christians take up arms useful in self-defense. "He who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Luke 22:36. Third, the Apostle Paul implies that Christian men ought to defend their families as part of their provision. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. Finally, although we cannot generate any conclusive argument from silence, it is notable, taking the preceding passages into account, that Christ did not condemn the prudent planning for and use of warfare as a proper function of the wise king in Luke 14:31. Moreover, there are plenty of examples, of course, in the Old Testament of God condoning warfare and men going to battle, and God does not change, even if the administration of his kingdom does change. Clearly there is a sense in which Christians are to turn the other cheek, as Matthew 5:39 said, "Suffer and show forth the glory of God in doing so rather than defending themselves." There is a time in which we must suffer and die, Matthew 5:11, Philippians 1:29, and 2 Timothy 2:3. Nevertheless, the New Testament does not indicate that Christians are called upon to be the world's doormats. Thus, in the current administration of God's kingdom, there seems to be room for Christians to pursue liberty, at times defend themselves against tyranny. In the final analysis, Christians can bring glory to God either by suffering or through promoting liberty. Without a doctrine of self-defense, the entire theory of government from a Christian worldview really changes dramatically. If we were to suppose for a minute that Glasser and others are right, that we should be pacifists, that there's no sense that we should have any kind of defense, that when somebody comes in to shoot us or rob us or rape us or pillage or whatever else, we simply have to let them do that. We no longer need anything to do with the government. Now, we realize that pacifists are in the competing kingdom school along with liberty of conscience. We understand that. But they take a totally different tack towards how to handle predators. They're basically saying we need to be anarchists. If they're going to be logically consistent, there is simply no reason for there ever to be any government. They ought to be complete anarchy. I'm not talking about chaos in society. They're not going to be promoting chaos. They would want to have law and order, but not law and order enforced by any kind of government with a military force. So it would be a very difficult thing in general to pull off, obviously, but they also would not be in favor of the principles of the Founding Fathers. They would essentially be saying, we need no government leaders whatsoever. If they're going to be logically consistent, I want them to hear them say that and be consistent as they go ahead and show forth their true colors and the idea of their presuppositions and their doctrine. I don't think this is correct. I think, obviously, the scriptures I just read, including the one in Acts chapter 7 about Moses before the break, indicate to us that we need to have self-defense in this world, that after Christ left,
this earth and ascended to heaven, he left us with the idea of getting a sword so that we can defend ourselves against people who are going to prey upon us. I think we don't defend ourselves when we have no chance. I think Paul and the apostles didn't defend themselves and died, not because they wanted to simply turn the other cheek and let themselves be killed, but because they couldn't flee. They had no more political means to bargain with, as Paul did so eloquently and before various courts. And they had no way to rise up against the Roman captors. There's nothing they can do, and so they became martyrs for the glory of God. The sword, of course, was the state-of-the-art weapon at the time, and nowadays we can buy a pistol. There's no reason that we have to use that, a sword anymore. Christ didn't, it was in a literal sense that transcended all ages and all technologies. The idea or the principle is self-defense is part and parcel of the Christian, part of the Christian worldview. At least as far as we're concerned here at the Tyranny Response Network, pacifists notwithstanding. So, interesting to our discussion by Glasser earlier today, certainly, but we believe the Founding Fathers, the Second Amendment, and the preachers of that day and that era, and even many today, are absolutely correct in suggesting that Christians can defend themselves against predators. Well, what are the things that we got to discuss on this show today? Well, we've got a few other articles that the Tyranny Response Network staff has sent up. I might try to go through a couple of these real quickly. One is a critique of supersizing statistics by Wendy McElroy on LouRockwell.com. The accuracy of the following statements is not only personally important to your health, but it may be politically important to your freedom. Which of the statements you believe is also likely to affect such intimate issues as your body image and how you choose to feed your family? 1. Obesity and inactivity kill 400,000 Americans per year, making them the second leading cause of preventable death in the U.S., next only to smoking. Or, number 2, obesity and inactivity kill 26,000 Americans every year, making them less lethal and relatively unknown diseases as nephritis and septicemia. The first statement creates a panic, the second concern. Without diminishing the desirability of a healthy diet and exercise, which reaction do the facts really support? A public panic which calls for political intervention, or a reason why individuals should reconsider reaching for that second donut? Don't look to the Centers for Disease Control for guidance. The CDC seems determined to create confusion, not clarity in the statistics. Over the past year, the CDC has provided numbers that support both statements, contradictory though they may be. In March 2004, a study co-authored by CDC Director Julie Gerberding claimed that in 2000, obesity and physical inactivity killed 400,000 Americans. That is, obesity called more than 16% of all deaths in the U.S. I'm going to pause reading the article there. You see, her point is going to be this. Government leaders manipulate statistics in order to promote a particular agenda and cause that they want to thrust upon the American people, in particular, their need for a bigger state, their need to give more money to the state so the nanny can take better care of us, their need for government to intervene. That's what they use statistics for. And the alarmist idea is part and parcel of government, and of the state, and it's a very parasitic existence. They need to have a justification given to the host for why they should be there devouring such a large portion of our earnings and our livelihood and enslaving us effectively, making us part-time slaves in America. They need justification for doing that. One is insecurity. Create insecurity around the world, even if they create their own bombings or their own terrorist attacks on our own buildings, even if that were the case, or if they need to create the impression that some foreign nation is going to possibly aggress us, that is what they need to do in order to stay in power. Another way to do it is to inflate these statistics about our own health problems, and in so doing, they create another need for them to exist. It's a self-justifying motif, and I appreciate Wendy McElroy pointing that out in her article. Well, here was an article yesterday from the Republican Party. Dear friend, as of the beginning of July, I asked each online supporter of the National Republican Senatorial Committee to make a contribution towards the NSRC on online campaign goal of $75,000. As of this morning, NRSC is 11,455 away from their goal. So if you've not done so already, I urge you to go give some money, blah, blah, blah. The NRSC is at the forefront of our efforts supporting our Senate candidates and expanding the Republican Senate majority to fight back against the radical groups like MoveOn.com. You know what? This is just poppycock, isn't it? Here we got Bill Frist asking, as a Senate majority leader, to us to give more money to these congressmen who just passed CAFTA, who probably are going to give a hard time to even a neocon like Roberts, who probably, as a judicial nominee, is not truly a conservative. They want us to send more money. Folks, don't give into the lie. Republicans are not your friends. Republicans are sellouts. They are people who are not doing good things in our country. They have given up on American sovereignty, and they're going to continue to pull down this country. What you need to do is get out of the Republican Party. Forget about it. Don't try to transform it. Instead, vote Constitution Party if you must, or better yet, in my opinion, vote Libertarian. Go with pro-life Libertarian candidates specifically. If you're not one of those, then vote for a Constitution Party member. But no matter what you do, don't support Republicans. Republicans are not people that are promoting liberty in this land. They are part and parcel of the established, so-called establishment. Sound like a 60s hippie when I say that. The people that are in power that want to derogate American liberties, that undermine the Constitution and take away American sovereignty. That's what those Republicans are all about today, folks. Don't listen to the lip service. Look at what they're doing instead and see that they are not on our side. Don't vote for them. Forget about it. Abandon the party. Get out. Don't listen to Tony Bean telling you to stay in there and hang in there with old George Bush. He's not telling you the truth. He's making a mistake. He's leading people astray, unfortunately. Not intentionally, but because he's like any other neocons, he's believing the lie. Good people often believe lies, but somebody has to be there to shake them up and wake them up, and we hope we can do that a little bit for you here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, it's been a good show today. Lots of interesting topics to discuss. We hope to see you again on Monday morning for another great edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, we wish you God's blessings.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for